I realize how bad it is to feel the throat being sore and then having to stand and share something. Because last Friday, a friend of Joyce, who was living in Norway for 40 over years, he came and brought three lovely mangoes, you know, huge ones. So had one, about a third of it on Friday night, and had another quarter of it or a third of it last night. So I was singing the first song, and then after that, so I can appreciate that. Yeah, understand. But the gas dilemma. Anyway, before I start, I'd like to share a testimony. Last Thursday night, in the middle of the night, early Friday morning, 1 a.m., I woke up and go to the toilet. As I opened the door, and I saw my wife and my dog, Cody, was just past 16 years old, and he was panting and really bad, and as usual, what would say, I was about to go. So said a little prayer for him, and thank God for his lovely creation, the joy to share with, and went back to bed. Next morning, before I go to work, opened the door and saw him walking around nicely and having his breakfast. So, and in the evening I came back, he was waiting for me as usual. So he was good. I thank God to trust the Lord in everything, you know, even the animals that we love, you know, in everything. So thank God for that. Before I share, also Brother Gunn asked me to share something last Sunday after the sermon, and I was thinking, what do I want to share? I'm not one who is very good in remembering the verses and all that. I can read certain parts and say a few verses, you know, try to remember. Then tomorrow I just totally forget what I read. At my age, my memory is not so good. So I thought, how am I going to share when I can't remember what I'm trying to say? So I have to write a long list. But if I write a long list, I might as well just read it. So what's the point of, you know? So. So I'm a practical person in a sense. I'm a hands-on person. I'm not a person who likes to sit on a desk and do the work. I like to do with my hands, you know, to get a satisfaction of what I do. So I will share today sort of my life history from the day that I came to know the Lord and to this present moment. So I have been went to church when I was young in the Great Assembly of God. Before that, secondary school. Yeah, all of my friends in some of the churches and all that. But there, because I followed them, because it was free breakfast. That's one of the. It's true, you know. You know how. So anyway, so as time goes on, when I finished school, you know, I was in a sort of position that whatever I learned in Great Assembly or the gathering together of my small group, you know, Bible study. So let's talk about how to behave, what to do, do this, do that, do not do this, do not do that. So every time we get together, it's always the same thing. No difference at all. You know? And as you observe, some of them also behave the same way. No change. So as time goes on, I went to the army, and actually I forgot about God. But deep inside, I always had this this yearning to come back to God one day, but I was not ready, you know, it's sort of nothing to bring me back to God. So as things happen, the Lord has blessed us with my brother who is is the apostle of God, and so readily available to me because during one of his mother-in-law's funeral, I heard him preach, and I have never heard a sermon that touches me since day one I came to the Lord. And I told myself, if I ever come back to God, I'll go to his church, no other church. So anyway, time goes on, and mom died. But before mom died, she told me many times, you know, since the 70s, hey son, when are you coming back to church, you know? Mom, soon, I will. They not to worry. Even the month before she passed away, she told me, when you going to come back to church, you know, in a shrill voice. I will. And when he passed away, I kept my promise to her. Thank God I did, and I'm back here and able to find that the whole Bible is actually a new book to me, because of the truth that I have learned. The Garden of Eden, the Godhead, and all the other things that that wasn't taught in Grace Assembly or in any other churches. So everything ties together, and it makes the Bible really more interesting and very interesting to read, you know. So I need to be ready. So I told myself, when I come back, I make a resolution for myself, not to anybody, to myself, that I will stay through to the end and not fall away again. So like last week, Brother James says, if you are a Christian, why live a Christian, half-hearted Christian? What's the waste? It's a waste, isn't it? What's the point? So if you are a sinner out there, there's also no point in living half-hearted sinner. You might as well enjoy your life, you know. Well, actually I did for the last 40 years, I did. Before I came back, I live my life out there to the fullest I can. Don't bother whatever it is I do. There's no conscience, there's no worry about what I do. I don't have to answer to anybody. I answer to myself. So now that I'm back, my resolution, I have to stay true. Now, and the other thing is, I prepared myself that when I come back to the church, I am part of the body of Christ. You know, so I know that one day, one of the elders or anybody will ask me to lead song. You know, so I really prepared myself that if whoever asks me, I will stand up here and lead song. What's so difficult about that? You know, and, you're part of the body of Christ. Everybody has to do a thing, you know. If nobody wants to do it, you know, Brother Gang has to do everything himself. He'll lead song and he'll do all that, you know. So I want to be part of the Church of Christ, you know. Everybody has to do our part. And also, you know, so one day I'm not to be standing here to share. So I have to prepare myself as well. So whatever I learn since 2011, that's the year my mom passed away, and that's the year I come back to the Lord. And so I'd like to share some of those things that I have. The problems as a Christian is not an easy road. We all know that, for sure. So I to myself, be focused, don't care how the people are treating you, how the brothers and sisters are looking at you, how they treat you, you treat them well. You treat them as a brother and sister in Christ.
Amen.
They are more important to you than your own. Your flesh and blood, more important than your son. You know, even if they don't come back, God, they are, brothers and sisters here are more important to me,
yeah.
You know, in the sight of God. Because we're going to live in eternity and we're going to face each other.
Right.
If they don't come back and if they're not safe, and I don't see them, so.
Amen.
So that's the truth, but that's how I feel. So. Sometimes I cannot remember what I'm trying to say. Okay, last week Brother James and the other week Brother Gunn were talking about seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. No? So, as a Christian, the life that I live, I have to live for God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind. And then every time everyone has problems. You have a sickness, you have problems with your work or your colleague and everything, or even your brothers and sisters in church. I remember when I had my gallstone. Went to hospital and came back. Second time went to hospital and came back. And went to see the specialist. He said, you got to take off your gallstone. Your gallbladder, sorry. Remove it. You know. So, one day I was lying in bed. The pain was slight pain. And I was lying in bed. I put myself on my knees and asked the Lord, what should I do, you know? And funny thing is that the Word of God is alive and it speaks to you.
Amen.
At times like that. He says, seek ye the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So, it reminds you, have you seek the kingdom of God?
Yes.
Have you lived a righteous life? Seek ye the kingdom of God. A. And His righteousness be equals to see all these things will be given to you. That's a mathematical formula in that verse. A plus B equals C. So A don't go equals C, B don't go equals C, A plus B equals C. So I know what it means. It's easy to study the Bible, easy to read, easy to meditate on it. But to live the life that what the Lord wants us to live is not so easy. It's not an easy road. So every time I have to kneel down on my knees, put down my knees and pray, ask God, have I done enough? Did I able to get C? You know, I've done A, now B, and to be able to get C. So that gallbladder thing works tremendously. I had to see the specialist today. A few days later, to get it removed, to get an appointment to get it removed. You know, and God works in a mysterious way. Brother Gunn talked to Brother David Kirkman in the States about my condition, and he said, yes, he did it before, and he did this, and he sent me the recipe to remove it, and Brother Gunn sent it to me. And I did it, and it came out the stones. So I was so happy, you know, really in ecstasy, and he thanked God for it. So went to the specialist at appointment date, and told him, and he said, no, it's all the vegetable seeds and all that thing, you know, you need to have it removed. I asked him, if I have removed the what kind of life I can live, you know, without a golf club. Oh, it's the same thing, you don't need it. I don't need it, God won't make it, you know, won't give it to me, you know. It's mine, I want to keep it, you know. It's a blessing from God, so I can eat more oily food, huh? Eat more barbecue beef, you know. If without that, I cannot eat barbecue beef, you know. I probably had a lot of runs, you know, I got to run to the toilet every hour or so. God truly answered prayers, you know.
Amen.
Well, you know that standing up here sharing can be very thirsty, but anyway, I'm sure we have come across Christians, Christians who hardly goes to church, dress badly. Miniskirt, makeup, low cut, and you know, drink a lot. Suddenly says, "Ooh, God answers my prayer," and you know, God answers my prayer. Every time I hear that, really, I'm living wrongly. Then I should be living, you know, I should be drinking as well and buying 4D and Toto and all that, you know. God will answer my prayer, no? And let me strike first prize. So there's a lot of things that we as a Christian need to live a life that's befitting a Christian, you know.
Right.
Christ-like, you know, look at Christ. And so if you live like that, I don't think God will answer your prayer. That's for sure. It just happens to in that sense. Okay. So we need to. So for me, it's how to live a life that is godly, Christ-like. I need to study the Word of God. I need to study the Word of God in the right frame, mind, heart, and soul to fully realize Him. Because if you read the Bible as in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth and the world was God. Yeah, it's not so good. You need to understand the meaning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth and the world moved on. And then you understand. You meditate on it. So, to me, that's how I read the Bible. So, and if we don't, you might as well read it like a book. And so it's not the easy to absorb the meaning, and the Holy Spirit doesn't speak to you in that sort of way. You need to meditate on it. I usually read a few verses and just think about it, you know, how it how I could apply it to my life. And then as I do that, the Spirit of God speaks to me. And some very funny thing is, when I read certain thing, I find that there's a sermon coming to me, you know. As I meditate on it, it's like somebody is preaching to me. You know, it's very amazing. I told Brother Yin Fang, said, it's not so easy. It's not difficult to share. But the thing is, how are you going to put in point to be able to remember the things to share? So anyway, I said, let's try. I'll put it in. So I told myself, put it in points. And sometimes, even the points, you can't even remember what you want to say. So, for me as a Christian, Christ told us the first commandment: "Thou shalt love the God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy soul, with all thy might." Someone that we can't even see. How do we seek the kingdom of God? It's the kingdom of God in His Word. He speaks to us, you know. So, in the first commandment, it's very easy for us to say, "Praise the Lord, I love you, Lord," and this and this and this and this. But the second commandment says, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." That's the hardest part. If you cannot love the neighbor as yourself, then you have failed the first commandment. How could you ever love someone who has never seen before?
Right.
It is not, you know, it's invisible in it. So I for me it's God, I have to love everybody in the church. Not just that again, or this guy is nice, I'll love him, that guy is nice, I'm not so good. No, it's everybody. That's the hard truth. The truth hurts. If the truth doesn't hurt, then it's not beneficial to us. You know, God's truth is, you know, if you don't love your brothers, then if you say you love your brother, in 1 John 4:20, if a man say, I love God, he hated his brother, he is a liar. For he that love not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? So sometimes I think if we were to dislike somebody, it's like a thorn in your side, you know. It's always pricking your heart. Every time you see this guy, you avoid. Every time you see this guy, you're actually killing your brother. You're murdering your brother.
Yeah.
So, to me, it's very disheartening when I see that. Even Ephesians 4:26 is a very short one. Be angry and sin not. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Be angry and sin not. That was, you know, this verse caused me to meditate for over almost 2 weeks. How can I be angry and sin not? When I'm angry at somebody, I receive now. Because God also gets angry. But we get angry at somebody because of something that person done badly, listening to that, you can actually forget. Instead, forgive it. You know. Instead of usually when you for example, when I'm driving, you know, and this guy cuts in my path, you know, it makes me angry, you know. So what do? Do I curse him? No. I just say, lousy driver. Selfish driver. You know, so you just push it, switch it away. Everything is solved. You know. But if you ponder over it, it's like a thorn in there, and then you keep driving, I'm gonna chase after him, and that's all. Then it gets worse and worse and worse and worse, and then you might even ram him, you know. That's how some of those drivers did, and chase after somebody, and start fighting him. So, we're all created in the image of God. So, we can be angry because things don't happen, don't go our way. We're angry because things go bad. For my project, those are the tanks leaking, this guy well, and the tank leaking, you know, especially my partner. He likes to, and all that, and still leaking. And you see, we have to go to the customer's place to repair the leak. But I have grown so used to it, and I have grown so used to telling myself, it's a small matter, forget about it. So if we will do that, instead of hating your brother and sisters, or even evade brother or sisters, I think it's very bad, you know. So, if we are saying we are the family of God, and we cannot love each other, then it's very difficult to love God. Like the song says, "You don't love your brother, your sisters. You don't love. If you don't love your brother, you don't love God." So So based on this, when we get on our knees of prayer, every time we ask God, we talk to God, because we have done something wrong, if we have hurt somebody or do something wrong, it's always a pin prick. Like in 1 John 3:21, "Beloved, if our heart condemns us not, then have we confidence towards God." You know, every time we pray, if we have done something wrong, the Spirit of God will always remind us, you did this. Now you come to me, if you ask forgiveness, have you settled this with your brother or your sister? Have you asked for forgiveness of this wrong? You know, so if you do not, how can you push God, you know? Jesus, a prayer, you know, Jesus Christ as the structure. Ask for forgiveness first before you do anything else. So always remember that when I pray, praise God, and ask forgiveness if there's anything I did wrong then, that I did not know, that I hurt my brother or my sister. Then you, and the things that if you have done, you know, sometimes you do small things, you know, God tell you, but you still do it, you know. It still pricks you in your heart. And for me, it's not very nice to come to God with that. Every night before I sleep, I make sure I ask for forgiveness for all these things, to trust in Him that He will lead us through. Give me through, brother. Now, talking about praying, prayer is for me, it's an amazing thing for everybody. Prayer changes things. We know how prayer changes things. God answers prayers. When you pray for somebody, that person that you find has a very funny character, or he hates you or dislikes you, you feel that something is wrong, or the brother or sister is doing things that not Christian like, or you know, you pray for quiet without them knowing. As you pray, the more you pray every day for that person, the funny thing is, not only God, not only prayer changes things, but it changes you as well.
Right.
It changes you, because once you start praying for somebody who offends you, you find that you will start to forgive them, and then you care more about that person. So it changes you, even though you are not like that before. You just try, just pray for somebody. You know, even though it does not offend you, but it offends somebody else, and you know about it. That's the reason why we share things. Mm-hmm. Any problem, we pray for that person. Mm-hmm. Even if that person whom you think you is not a very nice, but ask for prayer, you pray for that person as well. Fervently, not just God help brother or sister. Amen. No. Pray for it fervently. And you know that as time goes on, you look at that person in a different light. If everybody does that, it should be fantastic. Because if you don't, and then you have all these thorns in your heart, and it starts to prick you and add more thorns in there, and then slowly you leave. That'd be very sad, and after so many years, you need to forgive. As well as forget, you know. One of the things that how we deal with brothers and sisters. You know, in Japan, we all know that they bow. The lower they go, the more respect they have to the other person. To me, I wonder why they bow. You know, we know it's a respect, yes. But then, as you bow to the person, you diffuse the tension between that two person. You know, you diffuse the tension. It's easy to talk. You know, to tell the person, hey, it's okay, I'm very nice, I'm ready to talk with you in a good way. So, it gives the person a clear state of mind. So, if we are able to pray and forgive that person, and ask God to bless the person and help that person, it's like kowtowing and so bowing, you know. You see the person and everything seems to, it will work very nicely with every brothers and sisters together, coming together. So there's no tension. Instead of coming to church and then I have tension with this brother or this sister. So that's how I see things. So that's how I have experienced with it. And I urge to share this thing so anybody will have tension with me. Sorry for it. If I offended anybody, my apologies. Nothing personally intended. You know, like Christ says, John 17:9, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for those who have given me, for they are yours, God. You know, if Christ prays for us, can we not also pray for our brothers and sisters who we say we love? You know? If we are supposed to love each other, we are supposed to take care of each other. It's not supposed not to offend our brothers or sisters and be nice to original brothers and sisters. Sometimes I know the guy likes to preach. Sometimes he bang on the table with, about our behavior. Sometimes it's a wake up call, you know. Wow. Yes. I've checked myself. Did I do that? No. Did I do that? Yes. But okay, I need to change. Yeah. Because if Brother Gunn do that, but then something is wrong with the church, so we need to address our own issues, our own problems. Not there's a lot of tension in the church, and the Bible says in the end, there's a lot of falling away. So I really pray that it doesn't happen in this church, you know. Because God has given me such a fine family, you know. Where can I find a fine family? That I pray for each and every one, and everyone pray for me as well. It would be very nice. Yeah. So, actually, that's all more that I have to say, that everything that happens. We only have ourselves to blame.
Right.
Don't always blame the family. But because Christ loves us and cares for us, let's do likewise for the family. I'm not a preacher to stand here and preach, but I can share my life experience, and that's the kind of experience I go through. Prayer changes things, changes ourselves, and also God bless us with His prayer, like my work. Even though now the economy is bad, even sometimes a week goes by without any job, and I get on my knees, Lord, swing some contracts over to my side. Funny thing is, next day I go to the office and I see a couple of orders here and there, you know. I don't have to worry about it. Being a Christian is amazing. Thing, you know, You don't have to worry what's going to happen tomorrow. You don't have to worry whether there's an earthquake when you are going to Japan, the building crumbles and you are trapped underneath or squashed to death like a bug. I know that I have to be ready for the camel train that's coming by, to get on the Eliezer's camel train, like Rebecca, fair Rebecca, to get ready for the wedding. So I need to be ready for the wedding. The surprise comes coming any time now, so it's not a good time to, you know, like for my two children. Two children of Brother Michael and the children of Christopher, and some of the brothers, the children fall away. It's not a good time. The Lord is coming so close. Coming is so close. I pray the Lord bring them all back. And I hope that brothers and sisters, that you also pray for them as well, and they'll come back in time. Because you have seen them grow up, and would like them to live with you to eternity. You know, they're part of the family of God. Wants to bring them back here together to worship the Lord together in the house of the Lord. And, that's all I can do is share today. And I'm not a preacher, and so I am an over to Brother Gang. Thank you for bearing with me for this Lord.
God bless you. Yeah, I think of all the brothers that I've heard sharing, my brother is the one that is very relaxed, soft spoken. Can you all hear him? No, can't hear.
Can't hear.
Yeah, you don't. Now you can hear.
It's not like you look as though you are. Why don't you say hello?
Very hard. I was sitting here even having to hear because very soft.
Yeah.
But that's good. Yes, it's this might pick up. So, you know, but one other thing is that if human beings, no matter how person soft a person is, if you focus, you hear. You all know that in a club, huh? You know, when you are in a club, in a supermarket or somebody, somewhere, and everybody's talking, and then he heard somebody call you, and then he's far away, he talks, not too loud, but you can focus, you can see what he's trying to talk to you. It's only that we don't focus. But I think he doesn't have an amplifier. So, so next time we have to give him a microphone. But that's a good sharing, and that's very true. You know, when you have problem with one another, you try to deal with it. You know, how to settle the whole thing. But the most important thing is never to give yourself excuses. You always have to give excuses for your action, and that is very bad. You see, and you will never be able to apologize. You will never be able to see your mistake. You see, that's why I told you about the one brother who did that. Never see his mistake. He gave all kinds of excuses, and when he tried to apologize, he said something very strange. That's not an excuse. You want to apologize to somebody, go right up to the person and look him in the face. I'm sorry, brother, for what I did. I shouldn't have done that. But you know, you do this, that's why I did that. When you do that, you already defeat yourself. And that's a very terrible thing, because you don't admit to the mistake. You see? The reason why the brother said that I wrote a letter to him, that there are 16 points in the letter that hurts him. And it's just a small little paragraph or two in one page. He lied to his family. He said, read it. The daughter said, I don't see it. I said, that's it. He'll tell it to you, but he won't tell you. He will not show the facts. And the only word that he was troubled with, or what I said, was the word technical. Technical. You know, being technical, if I tell you, you're being technical, what does it mean? No, that's not what I like to hear. I'm not a technical person. You know, so what do I say? Very detailed person. Oh, very detailed person is not what technical. You see, there's a problem. You did something. You know something now. If you say something bad about me, it's one thing. But if it comes to the authority of the Word of God in the church, you deal with me over this. I can forgive you, but you can never restore back the fellowship until you make right. That's what Paul talks about when a brother sow discord, in the church. If he has sowed discord, let him go. Because he doesn't feel that he has done wrong. He will say, oh, I didn't know God, this person did this to me, so I did this, I said this. You don't whisper to another person out there and sow discord among this brother and that sister. You know, but when it's done with the church, it's one thing. If you deal something with the church of truth, I have to deal with it. I have let go of some of these things that has been said about me outside, no problem. But you take my teaching and you twisted it and said something that I didn't say, I say, you show me your effects first. But if you refuse and you continue to do that, I will expose you. You know that? That's what one brother, he did that, put on his website. I told everyone else to deal with that. Tell him that if it doesn't take it down, I will expose him because I captured the whole website. And finally, Brother Nice told him everything. And what I said to him, Brother Nice, he told him, he took it down. He never apologized to me. That doesn't matter. You're not forgiving him. But the thing is, once you don't deal with it, you put it on the website and lies about it, and people think that it is real, and that's why even Brother Nice got into trouble from his people. That such thing happened will never take place. You see, it's one thing for the people out there in the world to lie. My brother and sister, we are Christian. We don't lie about things, about each other, lie about things that is not true. Huh? And the Bible says, a liar cannot enter the kingdom of God. Okay, now I'm going to give the next part of the service to Brother Rolly. We have a song, 20 Eyes Upon Jesus.
And sisters, it's always give me joy when I stand here and share. When Bergan told me that I'm going to share, when Bergan told me last Sunday that I'm going to share this Sunday, the first topic that came to my mind was the one that Brother Jonan shared last Sunday. So, if I'm going to borrow what he shared last Sunday about, is $3,000 enough for a single person, right? So, actually, the topic of my sharing is about knowing God's will. A while ago, I asked Bargan, am I the last person to share, because I prepared, this is a five-part sharing, so please bear with me. So I try to compress. Is it $3,000 is enough for a single person? And a little girl at the back was asking to her mom, it's enough, right? For a single person. Yes, definitely it's enough. How about for us? We're five, right? Because those three, I know three kids, they keep asking, how much are you getting? Mommy and daddy. So they keep asking, how much are you getting? So for Elijah, an innocent boy, $100 is too much. So it's enough for us. So that's why I'm happy that $100 for him is okay. So, but if you're going to ask me, 15 years ago, when you were in the Philippines, I don't know how much is enough. Me and my wife, Cora, we have a decent job. I've been teaching already in the university. She is working in an MNC. It's a multinational company. So we're getting nice pay. So every year we have an increase. But you're going to ask, why is it not enough? And we only have Joshua back then, early 2000. So why is it not enough for us? Because one of the reasons is we have a lot of things that we want. What we want, not God wants for us. So even though you're getting millions and millions, I don't think it will be enough.
Right?
So nothing will be enough for us. It's a human nature. Right? So nothing will be enough. So when will be the right time, it will be enough. So if you can turn your Bible on Matthew 5, 6. Joshua.
Matthew 5, 6. Blessed are they which do not hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled.
And Luke 12:34.
For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also.
So Matthew 5:6. So blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. So they will be satisfied. So we need to learn how to seek His righteousness. So for us, when back in the Philippines, before we came here, so as a young couple with one child, of course you want a car, you want our own house and lot, right? So you have cell phones, right? Cell phones back then is not a necessity.
Right.
It's a luxury. Right? Right now it's a necessity. But before, it's a luxury. So everything you want, mostly of the worldly things. So that's one of the reasons why it's not enough. We can never be satisfied. So that's why I think the Lord brought us here. And before we came here, He prepared us. Because He knows that there will be a lot of temptations here. Mm-hmm. More gadgets, right? More nice places. Okay. So, those things that you want back in the Philippines, okay, we have a car. I don't even know where it is right now. I just gave it to my sister. So, just use it since 2014. And we're not anymore gearing up to having those kind of things. Because the Lord taught us about His Word, His righteousness, that we really have to study and learn from His Word. It's quite hard from the start, especially before we came here. Actually, me and Carter resisted going anywhere aside from the Philippines. I think it's normal that all of us, we really want to stay in our own country, right? So maybe most of us, not all of us, right? Because it's our comfort zone. So we resisted for a few months actually. And then something went wrong in her job. So she decided to go here, right? And then the rest is history and everyone is here, right? So, but He prepared us. They don't need to think whether you're going to start a new life and you don't have anything to this foreign land. When you seek His righteousness, definitely He knows what you need. So you don't need to think what you need because it's going to provide. Amen. So that's why $3,000 definitely will be enough. Right? And we don't think whether how much are we getting right now, because the Lord is always providing for us. Later in my sharing, you would know specifically, I'll give you an example of that. That He's always there, providing, as long that He is your priority, He's on top. Because when you're going to ask me, I remember the song that we sang a while ago, I keep falling in love with Him over and over again. If you're going to ask me before we came here, who do you love most? I will never think twice. I will say Cora, my wife. I will say I love her the most before we came here. And now she knows she's only second. She's not on my number one. It's not anymore my number one. It's God. It's our God. It should be always on top. Always the priority. Always number one. Not our wife. Not our siblings. Not our kids. It's always Him. So that's one of the learnings that He taught us before we came here, which has been very useful for us, especially in our spiritual life. That's why we're very, very happy that we were able to find fellowship here. We were able to fellowship here every Sunday because it helped us a lot, especially living here in Singapore. Because we don't really have relatives here. My wife has only her sister here. Not like if you're in the Philippines, right? all your neighbors are your relatives. You can leave your Elijah or Anna at home and then ask them to come by and just take care of them. But here, all alone, right? Everything will be with the family. And then, of course, our brothers and sisters are always here to help. So you're very thankful that God sent us here. That's the first part. So it's how can you be satisfied? So seek His righteousness. Always prioritize Him. And He's going to provide. Just be patient. Just like the one that I shared last time. So, but since we're here now, and then, okay, we learn a lot. But now, He's going to deal with me personally. So, we're able to change what we, not from want going to your need. Not what you want, but what you really need. So for me, because when I was in the Philippines, it's always my career. Let me put it as I'm a workaholic when I'm in the Philippines. So when you're in the academy, I actually plan everything. I thought I'm going to retire as a teacher. So I plan finishing my degree. I have my master's, so I need to finish my PhD. And then I have a lot of research. So that's my plan. But the Lord taught me a lot about understanding what He wants for me. So what I want only my personal career to blossom. So I finished my master's. I'm studying my PhD. I have at least 3 research groups per term to advise in their thesis. At the same time, teaching full time. So, studying and learning the Word of God really took a back seat for me when I was in the Philippines. When I was here, everything is focused with the Lord. So when I go back to the Philippines, back to zero, go back to work, research, and then school, study. So I go to church there, the Philippines, but I don't have time to study, to learn from His Word. So everything is about my career. So the 2 kids are already here back then. With Cora. We're renting a small room during those times in Chua Chu Kang in 2011. So really, I really don't have time to study until I had this eye problem. So I had an eye problem. So I stopped from working. So I took a leave for 3 months and I went here. So I think I can share. Let's open our Bible. Luke 12, 47. Luke 12, 47.
Luke 12, 47. And that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes.
Okay, so I have this problem, an eye problem, 2014. So I'm very active in teaching, very active in research, very active in my PhD. So no time at all in studying and learning the Word of God. And then this problem came. So I need a surgery on my left eye. So we're already here in Yishun when that happened. So that was in 2014. And then I lost my left eyesight after the surgery. So I lost my left eye. And did I feel depressed about it? So what did I feel when it happened? Imagine you're a workaholic, doing a lot of things, having a lot of research students under you, studying in a graduate school, teaching full time, and then it happened. Everything stopped. So what I did is, I go back to the Lord, ask for help, ask for more understanding. I stay here in 2015 until June, I think. So, learning more. You know what's the good thing is? The good thing is, even though I see less physically, but what God did to me is to let see me more spiritually.
Amen.
As in my learning in His Word, it's like skyrocketed. Of course, with the help of Brother Khan and our fellowship here, from his website. All in all, I did learn a lot in 2011 to 2014, but not like this kind of learning in 2015. As in, he opens my eye spiritually. He revealed to me a lot of things that I was not able to understand. That's why I did not go through depression at all. None at all.
Amen.
Because of Him. Because of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because I keep falling in love with Him. Over and over. Every day of my life.
Amen.
I'm going to cry. Sorry.
Go ahead.
Because, you know, I'm emotional in two things. When I talk about my faith,
mm-hmm.
and when I talk about my family,
mm-hmm.
I'm really emotional about that. Because I know that God is really with me and my family, with this fellowship, because you will feel His presence wherever you go. That's why there's joy. Like what I've told you before, there's always joy in my heart when someone asks me to share in front of you. Maybe the Lord, I really don't like to teach, you know. But I end up teaching for 17 years. That's not my first love. I don't like teaching. But I think the Lord prepared me for this. That I can easily share in front of anyone. I mean, I'm very happy and there's joy in my heart when I'm talking in front of a lot of people. For 17 years, I've been doing that. So, that's why I'm very happy when Brother Gan told me to, can you share? I said, yes. You know, see, he may not see that I'm smiling, but yes. But in my heart, I'm smiling. I always want to share. I always want to talk about my faith, about my experience with God. Yes. Maybe someday, somehow, somebody will be enlightened about this sharing. So that's the third part. Okay, so a little bit sad, but it's okay. So maybe the next topic will be some happiness and comedy. So that's the third part. Okay. So, because when I teach in the university, actually I'm a very joyful teacher. I hate boring class. When Brother Impan and I was talking last week, right? So where do you sit when you're in the class? I usually sit at the back. Well, me too, during the postgraduate, I usually sit at the back. No? Especially if I feel sleepy. So the teacher will not see me sleeping, right? So, usual student, right? Common student. So sit at the back. So the teacher will not see you when you're closing your eyes or sleeping. So, the fourth part would be, let's open our Bible. Hebrews 11:6.
Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him.
And 1 Timothy 6:17.
Charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things in joy.
So in Hebrew, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is rewarded of them that diligently seek Him. So, from all this learning, from all these problems that we had encountered, so we seek His righteousness, we seek His guidance, and He always there to teach us. After seeking His righteousness, He will turn to you, He will know what's in your heart. Because my first love is in job is to go to industry,
manufacturing, but they end up teaching. So I really like to work in the industry as an engineer, because my friends are all, most of them are all in the manufacturing side. Yes, of course, I want to finish my PhD, but it took a back seat when I focused with the Lord in 2015. So as in, I did not open any research paper. That's why I really admire Brother Infant in his passion, in his love to the Word of God. Because he's always here, he's always studying, he's always learning. At the same time, he's doing his PhD. But because when I was young, I cannot do that. I don't have time. So what I did, I focused on the Word of God. And I didn't open my research paper. I did not. For 2 to 3 years. Never. Until last month, my friend texted me, "Let's submit a paper. A research paper." I think that was May 17, before my birthday. May 17. So he texted me to submit a paper to Macau, China, to be presented and to be published. So okay, and then I asked her, when is the deadline? May 20. What? In 3 days. And you're telling me to submit a paper in 3 days. So I prayed, and I asked the Lord, "Would you want me to do this? To submit a paper in just 3 days?" And I haven't opened my paper, my research paper, for 3 years. So I told Sister Cora about it. And I opened my laptop, which is so dusty. I didn't open my laptop. You can ask Sister Cora, I did open it. That's why the kids are asking, "Oh, why is it open? What are you going to do?" So I look at my files, I edited my paper, and I submitted it on May 20. I don't know if it will be accepted or not. I just submitted it. And early this month, this June, and I told Brian Ivan about it, my paper was accepted for presentation and publication in international journal, a technical paper. So, wow! I never opened my research paper for 3 years, and I edited it for just 2 days, and it was accepted. Imagine how long it's been. You know, if you're doing a paper, a technical paper, it's really hard to do one. To submit one paper, it takes months to finish one. But God helped me to finish it in just 2 days. Because it's not really my priority. He knows that He is my priority. And then the same thing with my job. I don't know if I will get a job here. I've been waiting for, 2 years? Right? Having interviews. And nothing happened. Until last year. When I got the job. That I want from the start. God gave it to me. Because He knows even before they don't want to work in an industry. But he knows that he's already my priority. I don't care if I'm going to get a job or not, as long as he's my priority, as long as I know that I'm still studying and learning from his word together with my wife and my kids. That's what I want them to understand, because the Lord knows and he will provide for us. It's very difficult for us because only Sister Corel was working back then, and Anna studying, Elijah studying, Joshua studying, and I don't know how did we, and we're renting a new place, and Elijah knows that mommy is getting $100 per month with all those things, right? So imagine how are you going to explain how God works, right? That's why we're very happy, and there will be a lot of joy in your heart if you're going to experience those kind of things, that you really feel his presence in your life, that you're not going to think what I'm going to eat tomorrow, can we pay our bill? You don't even think about it, because you know he's going to provide at the right time. Yes. And that's what he did, and that's what God did to us. That's why we're here. That's why Sister Cora were here now for 9 years, and Anna and Elijah were already here for 6 years. And we can say that we're living comfortably because of him, because of our God.
Amen.
Because of course, brothers and sisters. Because if you seek his righteousness, his kingdom, right? Amen. So everything will be added unto you. The last part, the fifth part, would be when you seek his kingdom, his righteousness, definitely he will provide. That's what's been happening for all his servants, for all the prophets, for all the apostles that we read in the Bible. He will provide. In 2013, When we moved from a small room in Chuachocan and rent an apartment, a 3-bedroom apartment, we don't know how we are going to bring our things, because this is the first time that we're going to rent an apartment in 2013. Same time that we moved from AA to Gishon. I think same month also. Until a brother offered a lorry. I'm not going to mention his name. Okay. So until he offers his lorry to bring all our things in Tekwine. Because God knows that we don't have enough money, right? And the place that we're able to get is partially furnished. You know, in if you rent something, right? Partially furnished or fully furnished, right? So partially furnished, there's a ref, one bed. No, so the other two rooms, no bed, right? no dining set. But another brother and sister gave us their dining set. No electric fan. A brother also gave an electric fan. Imagine. Therefore, our house became fully furnished. Without even buying a single furniture. Oh, and there's another. It's an unbeliever. Do you want two bed frames? Exactly what we need. Because the two bedrooms don't have anything. Do you want two bed frames? Of course. We got it. That's one. Amen. Clothes. Right? Anna is asking, okay, we need to buy some dress for me. It's a weekday. So we said that, okay, we're going to buy after church this Sunday. Before we start the service, the sister gave a dress. You don't need to buy. For me, I'm going to have an interview. Oh, I don't have my long sleeve here. It's all in the Philippines. Before we can buy, a brother gave a long sleeve. Imagine. And as simple as banana. You know Elijah, right? He loves to eat. So Sunday morning, Mom, let's buy some banana after church. Okay. But before we start the service, his sister gave us banana. Right? Who know you? I'm not going to mention your name. You know who know you are, right? Because God uses us. That's why you're very blessed that we're here in this fellowship. You don't know the joy that you're giving to us, right? When you give something, okay, I know that God touched your heart. That's why we're so blessed that we have this fellowship. That's why we still need to study and learn His Word. We still need to seek His righteousness. We need to keep falling in love with Him over and over. That's all. Thank you. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. How many of you, you know, I'm blessed by today's sharing. How many of you know that Brother Rudy has actually damaged eye in his life? How many of you know it? How many of you do not know? Well, many of us don't know. I didn't even know. I thought that he had a problem with the eyes on the left, but I didn't know that. You cannot see completely with the eye.
Yeah.
Completely gone.
Yeah.
Like the surgeon must have damaged the retina.
Yeah.
Well, and I didn't know because in the first place, he never showed any depression.
Yeah.
He came here and said, "It's okay, how are you? Yeah, fine." And others, how are you? Your people have problems. Complaining. Oh, so short of sight. The joy of the Lord is my strength. What is the joy of the Lord? Where do you get that joy? If you have the joy of the Lord, you have the strength. But where is that joy? The joy is in His Word. You grow in His word, you get joy. You know, I think Brother Roni lived a life. His family lived a life. And I say with one thing, the head of the family is always very important. If the head of family do not go on their knee and seek the Lord, you don't expect the Lord to deal with the family, because God deal with you. God never says, Eve, where are you? God knew that Eve was supposed to take that fruit that he shouldn't have. But God did not seek Eve. He always seek the head. The head is always, but what are you going to do, Adam? What are you going to do? You are the man of the house. So we go on our knee, we pray and all this. But every one of us, we fail many times in our life. But don't take the failure as a put down. When you see other people are doing better. No. God always has a reason for that. Like Brother Rowley said, his eye physically cannot see as better right now. But spiritually his eye is better. And God has a reason for